Put the work away. Thursday is done. Four down, one to go with this work week, and then we get you into a sports weekend. It's the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch. Glad to have you on board. And, of course, our text line, 46862. Your thoughts on Marcus Freeman being the next head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish? Let us know at 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Coming up this hour, we'll talk about Marcus Freeman as the next Notre Dame coach with Dylan Sin of the Journal-Gazette. Also, plenty of topics to discuss with Duke. He's going to jump in for Tommy Shegler on this Thursday. We'll have him along at 5:30. Plus, he's going to give us a top five. He'll give us a power ranking of girls basketball so far this season. Of course, the boys have just gotten started over the last week. Most teams have played one or two games. We've got a big one coming up tomorrow night right here at 1380 The Fan. We have our high school football. See, I haven't changed, Caleb. High school basketball game of the week presented by Indiana Physical Therapy coming up tomorrow with the Carroll Chargers visiting the Homestead Spartans. We'll get a good look at Fletcher Lawyer, future Purdue prospect. Future Purdue Boilermaker. He'll be on the court for the Homestead Spartans. Should be good SAC basketball coming up tomorrow night. In fact, the girls' game is going to be a good game, too. I thought we might be able to cover that girls' game, but we'll be able to give you a final score when we come on with the boys' game because it will be game two of the doubleheader starting somewhere between 7:30 and 7:45 tomorrow night right here, 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. And then the post-game show live from the Coventry Pizza Hut from about 9 to 10 o'clock. We'll have Duke, Caleb Hatch will provide some scores, and I'll jump in for the last 10 minutes or so just to get my pizza. But we'll have the post-game show presented by Parkview Sports Medicine tomorrow night, so we'll give you all the area high school scores, and then we'll turn it over to Purdue basketball as Purdue takes on Iowa. You know what's at stake, the number one ranking in the country. That's what Purdue will be playing for tomorrow, trying to remain undefeated, playing on their home floor. I think this game just comes down to Purdue's size inside. I think Zach Edey, Travion Williams, even Caleb First, I think that will be a matchup that's very tough for Iowa to handle. I think Purdue will win the game. In fact, I think Purdue will win the game by double digits. I'm not going to say high double digits this time, even though Purdue has been winning by 39 points a game at home. I'll say that it's going to be somewhere around a 12 to 14 point margin. Coming up tonight, you just heard Caleb mention on our update that we've got Mastodons basketball, Horizon League versus Wright State. The Raiders. It's the Wright State Raiders. They'll be at the Coliseum to take on the Mastodons tonight, and I'll have the coverage with Justin Kenny starting at 6:45. Last night, Pacers, they got a film session after the game. That's how upset Rick Carlisle was with the Pacers' performance. They actually sat and broke down film in the locker room after the game. It took, I think, about 45, 50 minutes before Rick Carlisle finally made his way over to the media center to do his post-game interviews because he was so anxious to show his players film because he was so disappointed in the effort, especially defensively in the first half when the Pacers fell behind, allowing 38 points in the first quarter, 27 more in the second quarter. It was 65 to 57 at the break, and the Pacers gave up a couple of runs to the Atlanta Hawks that gave the Hawks that 8-point cushion at the break. Pacers did have a heck of a third quarter, and in fact, they flipped the game and had a 1-point lead heading into the fourth quarter, but then the Hawks outscored the Pacers 27-23 in the fourth quarter and win it 114-111 at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. It did not make Rick Carlisle happy because he said this is, again, too many close games that the Pacers have lost. In fact, I think, did I hear this is like 8 losses or something like that the Pacers have had within 4 points? I know it's double what the next closest team is in the NBA. The Pacers are just struggling to win the close games, and they lose another one last night and got a special film session out of it. So I guess they got a post-game movie. How about that? It's a special post-game movie night for the players. That's not exactly what you want if you're an NBA player.
The Pacers have a serious apathy problem between a lot of fans like myself not being able to watch via streaming, between running out the same product basically that they had last year and expecting different results.
With the same ownership, leadership.
or lack thereof, and then ownership not really willing to invest and hoping that you hit on a draft pick, which, to be fair, they have so far with Duarte. I mean, that's like their only hope to get out of this, you know, fringe playoff team. The fans simply don't care.
And Miles Turner did play last night. Turner was a question mark. He ended up playing 34 minutes. He was 6-9 from the field. He was 3-6 from three, 9 rebounds, 17 points. So Miles Turner actually was a contributor. But just not enough. It really comes down to the defensive side. Now, the Pacers did lose T.J. McConnell after only 3 minutes of action because he's dealing with a wrist injury, and we already have Warren that is out.
And McConnell's going to be out a while as well. We don't have a timetable for Warren. Now we don't have a timetable for McConnell. Do you know
what the diagnosis is for McConnell?
I think a wrist injury.
He's been trying to play through it, but he keeps holding it, and it obviously was bothering him. He was grimacing and held it last night as he left the floor. But it's some type of wrist injury. We just don't know exactly what it is. But Pacers fall in a game that they really should win when you play a team like Atlanta, 500 team on your home floor. You should be able to get those victories. Pacers have fallen to a disappointing 9-15 now on the season. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. So did Notre Dame get better or worse now that they have a new head coach? Did they get better or did they get worse? You know, I like this hire. I really do. And I wasn't sure about it the very first day because I thought this is Notre Dame. You don't risk a Notre Dame program to a first-time coach. But then the more I thought about it and thought about where they're at, where they're positioned, the fact that they've established a very high bar under Brian Kelly, making a transition internally, even if it's a guy that's only been there for a year, but a guy who's had a significant impact on recruits, he's had an impact on the players, and even former players supported Marcus Freeman to be the next coach. When you start hearing it on social media from former players wanting Marcus Freeman to be the coach, and then you wonder, how does it play for boosters? How does it play for the fan base? But it seems like so far the response has been nothing but positive for Marcus Freeman as the next head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And for our caller, our texter that texted in the first hour, boasting that Notre Dame wins a national championship next year, that's great to have so much confidence in the coach, but the schedule may say otherwise. Opening at Ohio State, then having road trips to North Carolina, taking on BYU out in Vegas. They'll be home to Clemson, but it's still Clemson. Even though they had a down year this year, you just expect Clemson with all those top five-star recruits to eventually bounce back. And then they go to USC to finish off the season. And remember, USC just got Lincoln Riley as the coach, and already Lincoln Riley has had an impact on some of the recruits that are coming into Southern California. So it's going to be a tough schedule. And for Notre Dame to play for a national championship, they got to make it into the college football playoffs, and that means you can't lose more than one of those games. And even then, you might be on the bubble like they are this year. So did Notre Dame get better or worse based on the hire of Marcus Freeman? How do you feel, Notre Dame fans? Let us know at 46862, 46862. Indiana Hoosiers might have got a break last night, and they didn't even play. Indiana's next game is going to be against Nebraska. And that comes up at noon on Saturday. Well, last night Nebraska played in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and all the Cornhuskers did was go four overtimes on the road at North Carolina State. That totally disrupts the travel plans. I don't know if they flew back after the game. Probably would have been the plan to just fly back after the game and get back probably into Nebraska, picking up the hour that you get going from the Eastern time zone to Central time zone. Nebraska probably would have gotten home somewhere around midnight, 1 o'clock. But instead, they played four overtimes before finally falling to North Carolina State. So Nebraska may be a little bit worn, a little tired when Indiana gets them on their home floor at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. That is at noon Saturday. Of course, you can listen to Indiana basketball on our sister station, Big 92.3. Our friend Don Fisher, will be bringing you all the action of the Hoosiers and the Cornhuskers this Saturday. Meanwhile, coming up tomorrow night, Purdue back at home. They've got Iowa. And what's at stake? History. One game for history. And it's not a national championship game. No, it's one game to get the number one spot in the rankings in the AP poll come Monday, because Purdue right now would get that number one spot should they beat the Iowa Hawkeyes at Mackey Arena. I think it's fair to say that if there was a poll between the last couple of days, you would have Purdue would be taking the floor Friday night as the number one team. So I think it's fair to assume, or at least kind of project, that the team that takes the floor tomorrow night is the number one team in the country, even though it's not official until the poll comes out on Monday. The only way they give up that number one spot is if they lose to Iowa. Now, it's a good Iowa team. They've still got Bohannon firing up the 30-footers that somehow find the bottom of the net. But I just don't think Iowa has enough strength inside to match up with the bigs for Purdue. I still think this is going to be a game that's decided around the rim with Zach Edey, Travion Williams, Caleb First. I think that puts pressure inside against Iowa, and I don't think the Hawkeyes handle it. And so I think that will be the game plan for Purdue, and I think the Boilermakers beat the Hawkeyes somewhere 10 to 15 points. I wonder if there's a bet that I can make for that. I feel pretty confident in that. But I expect the Boilermakers to be able to hold on and win that game tomorrow night. Hey, congratulations. It is our Comets Christmas, and we've got another winner today. 4-pack of tickets for Comets versus whoever, because you get to pick the game you go to. You just win a 4-pack of tickets to a future Comet game sometime this season. And Tanya Aylesford is today's winner. Tanya out of Bluffton has picked up 4 tickets for a future Comets game, and you can too. All you have to do is be registered. It's simple to do. You go to 1380thefan.com and register there, or you can just simply text Comets, K-O-M-E-T-S, to 46862. Do that right now. Text Comets to 46862, and it will give you the registration. You just click on it and fill out the information. You'll be registered. And each day between now and Christmas, we will give away a Comets 4-pack of tickets. We'll tell you who the winner is each day here on the Sports Rush. So get signed up, and it could be a Comets Christmas for you too if you sign up for the 4-pack of tickets at 1380thefan.com or by texting Comets to 46862. Back on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Big week this week for Notre Dame Fighting Irish fans as Notre Dame loses Brian Kelly to LSU. He is right now all alone on an island. I mean, nobody went to paradise with Brian Kelly. And I really think he expected that maybe an assistant or two would follow him. No, he's got to hire an entire staff down in Baton Rouge. Let's talk about it with Dylan Sin from the Journal Gazette. He's joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. And let's start with that, Dylan. Brian Kelly departs Notre Dame for LSU. Caleb and I talked earlier that we feel like Brian Kelly was more the face of the franchise, the administrator. He wasn't the hands-on guy that did a lot of the, quote, dirty work for the Notre Dame football program. I think he needs good people around him. I expected that maybe there would be somebody following him down to Baton Rouge. I don't know what it says about Brian Kelly, but it seems like no one will.
Yeah, at this point, it seems like a lot of people are staying, and it's unclear how much that says about Brian Kelly and how much that says about Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman here, that people would stay and work under him, it seems like. But yeah, that's definitely something that he absolutely wanted to take some of his staff with. And as of right now, it doesn't seem like much of any of his staff is going down to LSU. Now, obviously, they'll be able to get very good coaches in there at LSU. They have all those resources. Brian Kelly has a record of success and all of that. But it does seem like Notre Dame has made a push to make sure these guys are sticking around.
Dylan, it is Marcus Freeman who's going to be the next coach of Notre Dame. It's not been official by the university, but everybody and anybody has reported it, so we're taking it as fact at this point. And I think the strongest evidence that it's Marcus Freeman is that Tommy Reese is staying as offensive coordinator. You wouldn't be able to hire a coordinator if you didn't have a head coach. So I think it makes a lot of sense that Marcus Freeman's the guy. It just hasn't been made official by the university yet. But when you look at this transition, it's a unique position to be in, because I talked about this earlier in the show, that most universities, especially powerhouse programs like Notre Dame, they only replace coaches when they have to fire one, because they you know, they're like a Florida. They come off a bad year or two and things aren't going well. Notre Dame is really at their peak right now. And so it's about status quo. It's about keeping it where it's at. And the easiest way to do that is transition with someone who's already in the program. And this seems to be a home run hire for the players, the recruits, and even the fan base seeming to fall in love with Marcus Freeman as the next coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that over the last several days, as Brian Kelly was departing, it became clear that everyone around Notre Dame, around the program, wanted Marcus Freeman. It was the players, it was the alumni, Drew Tranquil among them, talking about how much they wanted Marcus Freeman. It was the recruits, who had not even signed with Notre Dame yet, saying that they wanted Freeman to be the next coach. It was a contingent of those. So in some ways, I think Jack Swarbrick wanted to take his time with his hires. He thought it might be a longer, more drawn-out process, but by the time he looked up and everyone, including the fan base, was saying, Freeman is the guy, just hire him now, I don't know, maybe he felt like his hand was forced a little bit to make this hire quickly. It's also possible the fact that Brian Kelly was offering Marcus Freeman reportedly to make him the highest-paid defensive coordinator in the country at LSU, that I think might have moved this situation along as well. But it does seem like the combination of Freeman being a rising star in the business, everyone around the Notre Dame program agreeing that he would be a good fit, and the intensity and the everything that was surrounding this, probably they just kind of added up in Jack Swarbrick's mind and said, okay, there's really nowhere else to turn here. It has to be Freeman.
The timing obviously is dictated somewhat by the early signing period. You don't want to have recruits slip away while Notre Dame takes their time in finding a coach. So it just makes a lot of sense on so many fronts that Notre Dame finds a coach quickly. They find a coach that seems to go over really well with recruits and players. And now it is Marcus Freeman. How does it go over with the College Football Playoff Committee? That's the next big question. It looked to me like Notre Dame might have been dinged slightly in the College Football Playoff ranking last week because of the coaching situation. How do you feel as an AP voter, and how do you think the College Football Playoff Committee is going to respond to Marcus Freeman as the Notre Dame coach?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say about the College Football Playoff Committee is they were asked kind of obliquely, Gary Barta was, about whether you can take into account absences of coaches or players. And he didn't really say anything about whether Notre Dame was dinged. It was more about, well, we're allowed to take that into consideration. And that's part of their bylaws. But I do think that if they were going to, and I'm not sure they were, but if they were going to, that I think Marcus Freeman would probably, him being in place, would probably assuage a significant portion of those fears. And it makes you wonder whether that was a factor as well. Now, Jack Swarbrick obviously did not want to make a hire specifically because of the College Football Playoff in this one year. You're making a hire for the long term, but it probably was another factor adding up in his mind, pointing with that giant blinking arrow toward Marcus Freeman, and I think that was probably something else that he was considering as we go forward here.
Who do you have higher in the poll, Notre Dame or Oklahoma State?
I have Notre Dame right now. I would probably, as a pollster, I would probably move Oklahoma State above Notre Dame if they were to win on Saturday. I do think Oklahoma State would have the better resume at that point. But right now, I think Notre Dame has done a lot there. The last 2 weeks, especially, they played very, very well. The defense under Freeman has come on a lot here at the end of the season, and they're playing as well as anyone in the country right now. The improvement from the beginning of the season to now is what's really impressive. I think there's something to be said for putting teams in the playoffs that are red hot, and that could make for some very interesting matchups in the playoffs.
Dylan Sin joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Dylan, where's your next assignment? Where do you go?
I will be in West Lafayette tomorrow night as Purdue takes on Iowa. Purdue wins that game. They probably rise to number one in the country as of next week.
I think the guards neutralize each other, but I think the advantage is Purdue inside.
That will be my guess as well. All eyes will be on Caleb first as well if he tries to guard Keegan Murray, the number two scorer in the country.
We'll be looking forward to your coverage of that. Enjoy it. A win, and the Boilermakers will be number one when the new poll comes out. Always appreciate your time, Dylan. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Brett. Always glad to do it. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, that is Dylan Sin from the Journal Gazette joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline, talking about Marcus Freeman as the next coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Of course, this is going to be an interesting weekend of football because so much is at stake as this is it. There's no making up for what happens this weekend in the eyes of the College Football Playoff Committee. And so when you look at it, you've got Friday night, it all starts out, Oregon, Utah. Neither of those teams is going to be in the discussion for the College Football Playoff. But then on Saturday, Baylor, Oklahoma State. Do we give Baylor any shot in this game at all, Caleb?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a good Baylor team. They played Oklahoma State pretty close earlier in the season, and they're very capable of pulling off, I wouldn't even really call it an upset, but they're capable of pulling off the win.
Well, Oklahoma State's a 5.5-point favorite, so it would be an upset. Georgia, Alabama. I saw a statistic that it's like, 70-some games or something that Alabama has gone into a game as the favorite, and this is the first time they're actually going into a game as an underdog, and it's significant. 6.5 points, almost a full touchdown advantage for Georgia. Alabama loss, they should be out of the College Football Playoff. Cincinnati has to play Houston. Houston, an 11-1 football team. Cincinnati, though, comes into that as a 10.5-point favorite. Michigan and Iowa in the Big Ten Championship. Michigan, an 11-point favorite. That seems to be a big number for Michigan against the Iowa Hawkeyes. And then also ACC Championship game with Wake Forest taking on Pittsburgh. That's college football coming up this Saturday. We'll take a break. When we come back, we've got Dute from Parkview Sports Medicine. He'll join us here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. We are just a short time away from me jumping on the chopper, heading out to the Memorial Coliseum. Tonight, it's Mastodons basketball as they open their Horizon League slate against Wright State. Of course, our pregame coverage begins with myself and Justin Kenny at 6:45 p.m. 7 o'clock will be the tip-off. And then the Mastodons right back at it again on Saturday, a 1 o'clock tip out at the Coliseum against Northern Kentucky. Two of the top three teams in the Horizon League, according to the preseason poll. Get your tickets. See some really good basketball and some pretty talented players on all these rosters that you can get a chance to see. So hope to see you out at the Coliseum tonight. But if not, tune it in right here at 1380. The Fan and 100.9 FM. Of course, the big story of the day, we're talking about Marcus Freeman and him becoming the next Notre Dame head coach. We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll get some thoughts on high school hoops that is now fully underway. We've got high school coverage coming up tomorrow with the Homestead Spartans hosting the Carroll Chargers. Our coverage tomorrow starts around 7:30. And then after the game, you can join us for the Parkview Sports Medicine High School Basketball post-game show live at the Coventry Pizza Hut, where we will have me, Caleb Hatch, and Dute. He's returning from pregame in football to postgame in basketball. We just love ourselves some Dute, and we love him so much. He's filling in for Tommy Shegler today on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. And, hey, Dute, it's time to take off the football brain and start thinking basketball. How's that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's really, you know, and really girls basketball has been going for a while, but it's one of those things where switching on and off. And, you know, I think a lot of times we see a lot of the same kids. So it'd be really interesting to see how some of these kids switch over, get it, go from football shape to basketball shape, and how they start to fit in with their teams, especially the boys and some of those teams that had some late season runs on the football side. Transitioning into the basketball, you know, Adam Central comes to mind with that because, you know, the smaller schools that rely so heavily on they're the same players practically playing all three sports, if you think about it, basketball, football, and baseball. So it'll be really interesting to see how that kind of shapes out every year. And, you know, there are a lot of good girls teams going on right now. And here we are, and nearing Christmas, we're into December, and it's time to talk high school hoops already.
Well, of course, the big story that's kind of dwarfed high school hoops this week is the story at Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman is the next head coach. Just want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think when the dust settles and everything's clear, I mean, it sounds like this is kind of the choice that
things were headed to from kind of that surprise. What was that Tuesday night, Monday night? Trying to remember where it all blends together now with as fast as this coaching carousel goes with Brian Kelly leaving for LSU. You know, do you go get Luke Fickell? Do you get somebody else from somewhere else, or do you promote from within? And Notre Dame, I think, is Jack Swarbrick in particular, kind of stuck to his guns. Almost the Michigan man approach applied it to Notre Dame, elevates Marcus Freeman, who was an Ohio State guy and has moved his way up through the ranks. But by all intents and purposes, I saw Drew Tranquil really high on him on Twitter. Actually recruited Tranquil to Purdue. Purdue and he had originally committed to Purdue, Tranquil did, and then flipped his commitment when he got the offer from Notre Dame. But, you know, it's a crazy situation for Notre Dame because they've never been in this situation before. But I think this is really where it's kind of that those Irish eyes they talk about really can really come around and circle the wagons. And really, I guess, to a certain extent, those who are IU basketball fans in addition to Notre Dame football fans can have a little bit more interest in the Notre Dame scenario while the Hoosiers are playing on TV at the same time. But, you know, Marcus Freeman was the defensive coordinator for Purdue under Daryl Hazel. So that's a huge question mark to me, dating back to when he kind of left Purdue and got hired at Cincinnati. But you know what? Sometimes you need a fresh start somewhere. He certainly got that with Cincinnati, certainly got into Notre Dame, and here he is, the new head coach of the Fighting Irish.
Yeah, and one of the things, it's an interesting hire and a timing of hire for Jack Swarbrick, because normally when you're replacing a coach, it's because there's struggles in the program. In this case, you're looking for a coach that can maintain what Brian Kelly has built. And I think that's why it makes sense to go with Marcus Freeman, because the players that are there, the top recruiting class that they've got coming in, they've got one of the best recruiting classes they've had at Notre Dame coming in. It seems like there was a consensus that Marcus Freeman was the guy they wanted. And Jack Swarbrick really had no other option than to listen to the team, the players, because of the unique position this is. Now, if it was a case where you didn't care if players left because you needed to upgrade talent, you needed to build a program that was struggling, yeah, maybe you go outside and you bring in a Luke Fickell. But I think this makes sense because of the situation that Notre Dame has right now and the success that they've had over the last few years under Brian Kelly. I think this makes sense as a hire. If he slides, if he doesn't maintain the bar, well, then you make the move, and then that would be a time where maybe you'd look for a guy that's got experience and success somewhere else. But I like this hire. I think it makes sense in a number of ways, and we'll see how it all shakes down. By the way, I know
you look at if you look at the financial situation, reported 5 years, $38 million, far less than what you're seeing from Lincoln Riley, what you're seeing from Brian Kelly. And we don't always know the financials from Notre Dame being a private school. They always have money coming in, so I don't think money is ever an issue for the Golden Dome. But at the same time, it's one of those situations where you're only going out maybe on a medium limb because he would be, you know, if you compare it to elsewhere, he would be one of the more higher paid coaches, say, in the Big Ten, but at the same time, not nearly what some of the coaches in the last week have been able to get. So
yeah,
it's a kind of a safe move in that regard, too.
Yeah, and I thought my guess was that he was going to be one of those $4.5-5 million guys because he doesn't have the experience. But, you know, they give him the numbers close to $7 million. He's getting pretty good pay to get a first-time head coaching gig. I want to switch. I know you're a Purdue guy, so I want to give you a chance here. How about the Boilers? One win away from getting that first-ever number one ranking.
Yeah, you know, I'm 36 years old, and so I'm not scared to share that on the air. So there's a lot of things that Purdue has never done in my lifetime, but there's a lot of things that Purdue has never done in a lot of people's lifetimes. Number one in the AP poll has never happened for the Boilermakers, and in fact, of all the teams, there's been several teams that have gotten to number two like Purdue has that has never been number one. Purdue's the only one, or been number two the longest without having ever won, been number one or won a national championship. Maryland has been number two without being number one longer, but they won that national championship over IU in 2002. So, you know, we're kind of on uncharted territories for the Boilermakers. But, you know, they got a tough one against Iowa. I mean, by all accounts, you know, Florida State, who they played on Tuesday night, and Iowa are two teams that are pesky to Purdue. Luckily, both games are in Mackey, and, of course, they handled the Seminoles pretty easily. So Iowa comes in. I mean, they've got a strong team. And so you got to play what's in front of you. And so, yes, there's a lot on the line come Friday night, and we'll certainly be watching that scoreboard during the post-game show. But I think, you know, one of the things is that, you know, over time, Purdue has become a big man factory, if you look. I mean, during the Gene Cady years, there was a lot of three-guard play, and they didn't really have size inside. Now you've almost got more size than you have guard play. Jaden Ivey's been fantastic, so that's an outlier there too. But it's a great Purdue team, but at the same time, it's only December 2nd. Play what's in front of you. Purdue has a big opportunity to take that next step that they've never seen before. And come April, you know, I've never been a fan of Purdue in Final Four in the same sentence before April. But here we are, and I think they have a good chance. You might as well say this is one of the top teams in the country, and hopefully they can do it for the first time in my lifetime.
We know that you are a guy that is obsessed with all the stats and analytics of high school sports, high school football, high school basketball. You've been analyzing and digging, looking at some of the teams and how they perform so far. So we want to get a top five from you. And I guess this week it's girls basketball, right?
Yeah. As it turns out, now each and every week it'll be different teams, boys and girls, because the girls' season has gone a little bit longer and a little bit size. It just so happens that this week it's all girls' teams, and really they've kind of had a month ahead of the boys. So I wanted to really recognize some of the great girls' basketball teams that we have in the area and that have played through kind of that first month of the season for the ladies.
All right, let's start then at number five.
Number five, we have the South Adam Lady Starfires. So first season for Wayne Krieger, who's been around the block a couple times. He's got 593 career wins. So potentially, if they keep winning, he could have 600 wins by Christmas. But first 5-0 start for South Adams in six seasons. Really doing well. You know, they've played some big games kind of in their area and really have pulled it out. The Priest sisters, I think that's how you pronounce it, Peyton and Macy, combined, they're scoring 24 points a game and 7 rebounds, which is really important for them. They've got a couple big games coming up, one of which Blackhawk Christian next week, so that should be a good one. But number five, I got the Lady Starfires down in Bern.
And number four.
Number four, we find Homestead Spartans, the Lady Spartans, 5-1. They're ranked in the 4A poll and also the one class coaches poll. Their lone loss is the number one Noblesville this year, but that's another, you know, the bread and butter of Rod Parker and that team is the ability to play different teams throughout the state at these tournaments and you know, November weekends and things like that. So they've looked good. Of course, Ayanna Patterson is the engine on that train, already 24 points, 9 rebounds per game, and 3 double-doubles in the first 6 games. Obviously the favorite to win Miss Basketball, maybe the best recruit in the nation heading to UConn. You're going to hear her name, that team's name, quite a bit. A big one with Carol tomorrow night. I know that's where you guys will be at and the post-game show nearby, so we're looking forward to that one, a big one in the SAC tomorrow night.
Number three,
we head to Garrett and find the Lady Railroaders. 6-1, they're up to number five in the Class 3A pool. They really look solid on offense, scoring 55.7 points a game. They got a big win at Angola, which kind of avenged that sectional championship loss and their NEC tourney loss last year. And also win at DeKalb as well. Their lone loss also came to Noblesville, So, you know, they've looked really good. They got a good home stretch coming up. One big game with Norwell. Circle the calendar every year for that game, and because that oftentimes can decide the NE8. They were 20-3 a year ago, and they're back for more. Bailey Kellum and Morgan Ostrowski are combining for 53% of Garrett's points so far this season. So a really strong team out of that part of DeKalb County and the NECC.
Number two,
the Blackhawk Christian Lady Braves. They are having a wonderful season at 6-1 so far. Wins over West Noble, at New Haven, at Leo, at Bishop Dwenger. So they're going on the road and winning, too. That's big for a program that isn't in a conference to get them adjusted to those big games later in the season. Head coach Stephanie Gongawer has led this team to back-to-back sectionals. Great start so far this year. They've got some solid games next week with Cherubusco and Elkhart Christian, but the Lady Braves are rolling, find themselves up to number 7 in the 1A poll.
And let's go ahead and get your number one team this week.
The number one team of the week is the Columbia City Lady Eagles. They're 8-0 for the first time in 7 seasons. They've climbed to number 13 in the 4A rankings. 27.2 margin of victory. They got wins over Carroll, Snyder, Lewers, Dwenger. So they've been really solid this year. And if you really go back to last year, after the turn of the year, January 1st, they were 6-2 down the stretch. Molly Baker really has played well for them so far, 16 points a game and 5 rebounds. She had 25 versus Dwenger. So there's another name from outside of the Fort Wayne area that we're probably going to hear a lot about this year just because she's one of those girls that really can get things going for a team that can really do well in the NE8 and try to make a splash come this postseason.
Always enjoy having you on, Dude, and you do a great job. So Tommy can take vacations anytime he wants. Tomorrow night, you'll be part of our Parkview Sports Medicine postgame show out at the Coventry Pizza Hut. We look forward to that as well.
Looking forward to it. See you guys tomorrow night, and boiler up, as they say.
There you go. That is Eric Dukevich joining us, replacing Tommy Shugler this week on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline, of course, from Parkview Sports Medicine. Always great to talk to Dute. I do miss Tommy when he's not here. Dute doesn't take as many shots at me, but it was fun to talk to Dute today. Coming up just an hour or so away, we're going to have Mastodons basketball out at the Coliseum. You can come out and join us for the Mastodons versus Wright State. Wright State coached by former South Dakota State coach Scott Nagy. He left South Dakota State where he built a program, and it seemed like he would be there forever, but then he took an opportunity at Wright State, and he's built them into another success. And last year, they were just 4 losses in the Horizon League. They finished 18-6 overall. Really solid season. This year, they're off to a tough start, but they've had a lot of close losses against good mid-major competition. It is not a typical 1-5 team that the Dons face tonight, but you're welcome to come out, get a ticket, and spend some time with us out at the Coliseum, or listen to the game with Justin Kenny and I on the call right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We've got to keep moving. I got to get the chopper ready to head out to the Coliseum, and so we will take a break. It is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Back a final time on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch. Chopper's ready. I got to get across town for the Mastodons and Wright State out at the Memorial Coliseum. It's the start of Horizon League action, and the first time the Mastodons will be able to actually play a Horizon League game with fans in the stands. But that's all up to you. If you'd like tickets, come on out, get them at the door at the Memorial Coliseum. A 7 o'clock tip, 6:45, we'll be on the air with the pregame show right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Don't forget, high school basketball tomorrow. We will have the Homestead Spartans hosting the Carroll Chargers. Join us for coverage beginning at 7:30. And then after the game, join us for the Parkview Sports Medicine post-game show live at the Coventry Pizza Hut starting around 9 o'clock. We'll be there until 10 o'clock tomorrow night so that we can get to Iowa-Purdue and give you the second half of coverage of the Purdue Boilermakers playing for what conceivably could be the number one ranking in the country. Big game for the Boilermakers coming up tomorrow night. Got to thank all of our guests that appeared on the show today. So many great voices, including Dylan Sin, Kevin Bowen, of course, Doot, who joined us. We enjoy all of them jumping on and being part of our show. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. If you get any questions, comments, or suggestions. Also, don't forget you can text COMETS to 46862 and get registered for COMETS Christmas. 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming COMETS game. It's your choice. You can pick the game you want to go to. We give you 4 tickets to that game. All you have to do to be a winner is to register at 1380thefan.com or get the link to register by texting right now COMETS, it's K-O-M-E-T-S at 46862. I am out of here. Thanks again for tuning in to another edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.